Welcome to Vox Vomitus, also known as Word Vomit.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to the latest live episode of Vox Vomitus. I am your host, Jennifer Ann Gordon, the author of the Kindle Award-winning novel Beautiful, Frightening, and Silent, as well as Pretty Ugly and The Japanese Box and Other Stories. Joining me today, as always, is my Vox Vomitus vixen, Allison Martine, author of The Bourbon Books, which includes Dibs Since September, Move on, Melinda, and Climb the Salmon Ladder. Joining us today, we have a creature double feature, is what I wanted to call it, but that's the
double header. Come on.
But you have to understand, I grew up outside of Boston, and every Saturday and Sunday, we had creature double feature on our TV. So that's the only like double thing I know. Anyways, no creatures involved. We do have a doubleheader. We have Lynn Liao Butler here to celebrate her book that came out yesterday, What Is Mine? And also returning to Vox Vomitus, E.A. Amar, Ed Amar, When She Left. Also, both of your books came out yesterday.
Yep.
Shoot, I'm doing it wrong.
Good I hell. Know. Oh. I'm not coordinated for this part.
I tried to do, so Lynn, you'll see I posted something, or I will be posting something on Instagram where I tried to like be that.
It can't do it.
Didn't work. Welcome to Vox Vomitus.
Thank you.
Thank you so much for having us.
I love this. Ed, we wanted you back because you were here before for your last book, No Home for Killers, which I also have right here. So we, of course, asked you back and you said, you know what? My friend Lynn also has a book coming out on the same day. And I was shocked, Ed, that you were willing to share the spotlight.
Everybody was. We're like, really?
I was like, what did you do with Ed? There's a person that my publicist said I should. No.
I love Lynn. We met... I don't know how we met.
We're birthday twins last year too. Our books came out. We have the same editor.
That's what it was. And that's what we met last year.
Yeah. Both Thomas and Mercer. And do they make you share an editor and a hotel room when you guys go to things like Two for One Everywhere?
They don't pay for hotels.
They're like, you guys can fend for yourselves at BadgerCon.
Exactly.
But that's I guess that's how I thought I knew you before that.
No, we had the same birthday last year too.
Crime Writers of Color though.
I love how the birthday is only 1 year.
Yeah.
Crime Writers of Color, right?
Didn't no. we? No. Oh, yes, yes.
Yeah, see? Yes. Yeah, you forgot. But I remembered.
Ed wrote it in his journal.
Yeah. We met in high school.
Today, I met
Lynn. We met in high school.
Me.
Oh, my gosh. Well, here's the plot of one of your next books, where next year, when both of your books are supposed to be coming out, if one of you is missing, we'll know.
Yes.
That we had some jealousy going on.
Lynn, lock your doors.
No, I have a very dark mind. I do have things, so.
Perfect.
So watch out, Ed.
Who knows?
I love it. We've already gone off the rails, which is my favorite thing to do.
We here. Never start on the rails. I don't know why you say that. It implies that we had rails.
We had rails.
We're like more of a submarine. Just do.
I didn't talk about the rapture as we went live. I'm waiting now. Three minutes in. The rapture. It's not the worst thing I've said when a show starts.
Oh, poor James Rollins.
Oh, poor James Rollins. I don't know. I always feel bad even saying this on a show, but it's hilarious. I said the word anal gland right as we went live.
It was veterinarian related.
It was veterinarian related.
We're educated.
About dogs, right?
It was about dogs.
Anal gland expression.
Yes, yep, that is what I was saying as Allison's like, and we're live.
I know. This is the problem when I push the button and she's still talking. Like,
how does the vet do that? Because they're like, I can express or whatever the dog's anal glands.
Let's not.
Like, I don't
let's
know what that means.
No. We're going to segue away from this, but we're going to.
You don't like science?
No,
I was not that kind. Theater. No,
do you think I like science?
I like science, but there's too much math involved, so I don't do it.
We're gonna take the dog thing, and we're gonna segue into Lynn's book.
Yes,
it's
fine because there are dogs. There are
lots
dogs.
Of dogs.
There's two dogs. So
there are two dogs. Lynn, tell us, non-spoilery, about the book, but more importantly about you, and then about the book, which is obviously very important.
Well, I can tell you how I got the story is, so it's about a 9-year-old boy and his dog, Mochi, who disappear from their driveway. And then the search for them, like, makes two women's lives collide that didn't know each other. And the reason I wrote this book, Ed was like, how can you write kidnapping stories? Because I have a 11-year-old now, but he was 8 when the pandemic started. And we fostered 17 dogs during the pandemic.
Oh, and not all at once, right?
Not all at once. Over the 2-year period.
That's a kid's book if it's 17 dogs all at once. That is, it's the darkest thriller you've ever read.
And he cried every time they left. And with this one couple, they were so nice. And they were like, we love him. He's so great. And they were like, try to give him the dog back because he cried. And then they sent him a box of toys. And in my head, I'm going, oh, that's so nice. And I'm like,
but what if they
come back and they steal him from my driveway with his dog? And then my mind went deeper and darker. And
I love that that was like the birth of this story. Like, what if they, and it's such a beautiful story until that moment when you're just like, they could be crazy.
Until the thriller writer comes in and just ruins all of it.
This couple, I must like be on my newsletter because they found out that my dog Mochi, who is named after dog, my Mochi died in October, and she texted me to say, I'm so sorry. I see you have a new book out. I'm like, don't read it.
Please don't read it. That's when you go back in the part where it says all characters are fictional and make that really big print. You're like, I especially mean you guys. I love you. I'm sorry.
I want to ask a quick question here. Have any of you ever been told something like a story or something in confidence and then written about it, forgetting who told you the story and then later confronted?
Yes, 100%. At like the very core plot of my debut novel, Beautiful, Frightening, and Silent, came from something somebody told me in college about.
But you don't know who?
I can't remember his name, but then somebody I was friends with who was also there was like, didn't that guy tell you a story about his uncle getting away with murder? Because he was like a cop and the cops like covered it up. And I was like, yeah, that was like, obviously it happens all the time, but it was a very specific thing that at that moment I was like, I'm going to write a ghost story about this. Like, what if somebody gets away with murder, except the ghost haunts him for like 70 years?
His entire life. And I've ripped stuff from people's stories and or like my own stuff. And there are things that are in my romance novels that are like ex-boyfriend related that now some of my other friends have married those ex-boyfriends. And I hope they don't keep reading. I'm like, sorry about that. He's nice now, I swear.
Awkward.
Not like
like she's posting on her honeymoon with him the book before that one. I'm like,
my God, you're not giving away like intimate secrets.
No, yeah, not. Are they like how did you know about the
tricks
curve of his? Are you talking about Chad?
No, talking about but yeah, like things like that. And I go, you know, it's somebody who's a friend but not super close, because I mean, you generally don't date your super close friends' exes, but.
Well, when you live in a really small state, it happens a lot.
Well, we're in California, so I should.
Lynn, what about you? Have you betrayed your friends' confidence or families?
Oh, no. Wow.
Other than
like these two?
I did. My family. So my second book, the premise of it is based on an old family secret.
Not anymore.
And I wrote it in there, but my parents, they don't speak English very well, so they've never read my book, right?
That's how Jennifer gets away with stuff.
Yeah, but just recently, recently, one of her friends is like, I'm going to make you read this. And so she just read my first book. It's like, I'm almost done with the first. I'm going to read the second. I'm like,
No.
That was like, I was so scared when my books became audiobooks because my mom, who English is her second language, I don't think she would read it anyways because she doesn't like not nice things. But I'm like, oh, what if she realizes she can just say, hey, Alexa, play blah, blah, blah. And then she's going to go, oh, that's based on me. I'm going to go like, pew, pew.
I love you, Mom.
Love you. So, Ed, you asked the question, which makes me want to know why you asked this question. Why did you deflect so much right away?
I actually haven't done that.
He's like, because I'm a nice person.
Yeah, I'm honorable. But it's no, I suppose I just have really boring friends who don't have interesting stories to share. I hope they're not.
Thanks, Ed.
No, I have thought about it, but a lot of those stories are very specific and I can't really put them into.
They don't translate to other situations.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm trying to think if I've taken characters. I think I told you the story of when we had, I'll make it quick. We had when my kid was a baby, and then we had a nanny, and the nanny's best friend came by, and I always use actors' photos for my characters as like a physical reference.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And I saw her, and I couldn't figure out who the protagonist of this book looked like. And I saw this woman, Cindy, and I was like, oh my God, that's her. That's who I'm talking about. So I went on Facebook and I found her. And then it's not creepy. Not creepy. And then I printed out her picture and hung it on my wall.
Not creepy.
And it was
I drew a heart around until it. And then my wife came in.
My wife saw it. And she's like, why do you have a picture of Cindy on the wall?
That I love that story, and now I feel like I want to steal that story and start something from there, where the wife just walks in and you're not there and sees it and thinks, "Oh my goodness!"
That would be you should.
Let's mine. Sorry, mine.
I call dibs.
I mean, it was on the wall with a lot of photos of people. So I,
a lot of other photos of her,
of friends, of her friends,
of her house, of the Google Maps of her road.
Yeah, of like where it's like, this isn't how Facebook works, where you just put all the pictures on your wall. That's not how Facebook works, Ed.
Well, my internet was down and I was just lonely.
Now, the problem is if you then start having like the red lines connecting them and you're doing this and people go, Ed, that's not all right.
And they're like, why do all the strings of yarn just go directly to Ed's house? That's a weird thing.
When you see those on TV shows, the like red, the red line and everything, doesn't it just seem like so much work?
It does. Yeah. I just want to draw directly on my wall if I'm going to do that.
Yeah, no, and I can't untangle yarn. That's just like, I'm the kind of just starts cutting it. So mine would be all these little short pieces because I can't be bothered to have like a long piece. Like,
that's a perfect visualization of what being a pantser is actually like. Just going, that didn't work. Just cut the string.
Like, don't worry about that. Now, so Ed, though, but some of your characters are kind of bilingual, and some of them are like, we've kind of lost some of the Spanish, so you didn't have anybody that you can say, no hablo inglés, and hope that they don't know the story that you're telling about them, because that would have been a really good out.
Yeah, you're right. Well, they're kind of bilingual because I'm only kind of bilingual. So
yeah, me too. That's where my bilinguality lost like a long time ago. And I'm like, I know just enough to argue with captions on shows. Like we just finished a show that had some Spanish. I'm like, that is not what was said. That is incorrect.
I always say I knew just enough that when I knew my mom was saying something that I shouldn't know, like I'm just like, my brain was just like, click in, figure out the words that you're not supposed to really understand. Like, the naughty ones.
Yes. Those are always the bad words we learn first. It's like, I know a couple words in certain languages. That's like literally all I know. Cause your friends taught you like, this is how you curse in Hebrew. Yeah. I'm like, all right.
In Hebrew. Well, after we're not live, I'll tell you the beautiful phrase my Russian husband taught me that he said, that he told me meant you have a lovely home. Thank you for inviting me. It did not mean that. And I'm not going to say it on the air. And I said the words anal glands earlier. So that's telling you.
Does that phrase also involve anal glands?
But in
similar. similar area. Ed, tell us a little bit about when she left. I almost held up the wrong book.
So when she left is the story of a pair of young lovers. Actually, let's say couple because lovers is gross. Lovers, a young couple on the run.
They're called Romeo and Julia.
Yeah, from a group of criminals because the woman in the couple has left her boyfriend who is a rising star in that criminal organization. And they hire a reluctant hitman slash real estate agent to track them.
My new boyfriend.
Oh, no, I called this.
You got
that's just because your book is named Dibs doesn't mean you can call it.
Yes, it does. Having written a book named Dibs, I call dibs on everything I want.
There was a weird thing. Let me ask you two, since you read it. So when our editor, Jessica, read it, she was like, she got back to me and she's like, you know who I picture in this role is what's his name?
I'm such a freak. I'm like
Dave Bautista. And I was like,
I think he's too tough looking.
No, yeah. Lucky is way more average looking.
Yeah.
He has to be a realtor. Nobody is buying a house from Dave Bautista. I love Dave Bautista, but he is like, you look at him and go.
He has to be a little more sad. Like,
you know who my reference was? Who was the guy? Did you see Succession?
Yes.
Who was the guy who was the, Lynn doesn't watch TV. we're going to talk about that. He was the guy who won in the end. No spoiler.
Matthew McFadden.
Yes.
Oh my God! If he was just like a tiny bit buff. Look it up.
If he was just a tiny bit buff.
Just a tiny bit, not a lot, not at all. Did Matthew also McFadden? My favorite Mr. He's Mr. Darcy too from Pride and Prejudice.
Oh, he's your Darcy. They're all Darcy.
Oh, that would be a good choice. Also, he is my Succession boyfriend. I know
that's
that.
Who you picked.
There were a lot of good options.
But is he on your wall or just random nannies?
He was on the wall.
Friends of nannies. Not even nannies.
Not her nanny. That would be weird.
Yeah, just her friends. Can you invite more of your friends over to my house? I'm a writer.
I just want to take a photo.
I'm a writer. It's like saying I'm a photographer. I'm a photographer. Okay, sorry.
Okay, I'm looking him up. His name is McFadden. What?
No, McFadden.
But isn't it spelled F A Y?
Yeah, that's confusing to me. I don't know how to pronounce that.
Yeah, it's Matthew McFadden, McFadden, something like that.
But
he's Scottish and Welsh. That explains the unnecessary vowels.
He does a good American accent.
Do you all? How do you all? Make your characters, you know, real. What is it for you that like?
I start with Adam Driver. And then I start with somebody that I would like to be. And I start there and then figure it out.
I fill out a DMV form and put in all this fake information.
Oh, and I'm not doing like the D&D character role and what is their intrigue, strength, and role for self. No, I'm not doing that. That's my husband's gig.
I did go to school for theater and we used to have to do these really in-depth character profiles for like every character we would play. I don't do that. So
I steal actors too. And sometimes people from my real life. So it's usually a combo thereof. And sometimes until I can hear them and see them and see how they move, I can't really write them. So until
I need the sound of the voice.
I need the sound of the voice. I need their mannerisms to know what they're doing and all that stuff. And then I'll be asking my friends, I'm like, okay, so how do you describe what she's doing? Because I don't really know what that is and I need help here. So I usually do that.
I do that. And I do, my homework, my writer homework I do is I do 5 core memories.
Core memories. What is this? Inside Out?
It is. It's a little bit Inside Out. All right. I'm like, and it's a little bit Pixar montage.
You are very Pixar montage, which is why you liked my original opening that my ex-agent didn't like so much. Because you're like,
it's a Pixar montage, except it's sad.
Fine.
So you do 5 core memories for each character?
Yeah, for main characters.
Ones. Interesting.
Not for a guy who just shows up.
And they can be... And what I loved about like thinking about core memories, because I think about my own core memories, it's sometimes they're not really important. Sometimes it's just something very random. Mm-hmm. So yeah, I do that for every main character.
What do you do?
I don't do anything.
That's better. That's actually the better choice.
I just start writing and then like, you know, it'll come as I go. And cause they change. Like sometimes
I
start off like one way. Mm-hmm. And then as I do it, I mean, I have like a character sheet. I'll start adding things to it.
Character sheet. Sorry. I'm like, that sounds organized. Like something I should do.
Like planning.
That's like a show Bible.
Yeah, but it kind of like happens as I'm writing the story, because someone that I thought was going to be very prim and proper ends up being like some, you know, completely different by halfway through. So,
okay, so Lynn, I was looking at your webpage, which is like scrolling below here, and we have your thriller, but you are all over the map genre-wise.
I am. I'm confused.
There's like rom-coms there. So is your writing approach, because I write in two genres too. So like I only have romances out, but I still think of myself as a speculative author. Uh-huh. And so my writing process is different for both. Is yours when you jump between the two? Because I'm like, this is not a rom-com.
Yeah, that's not a rom-com.
Not a rom-com.
I started off as
this wasn't hilarious to you.
There was a love story in there.
There were dogs.
A boy and his dog. That is the story we all needed. Exactly. But even the cover told me, like, the one that crazy bow you. Yes. I was just like, okay, first off, there's food involved. I'm here.
Yeah. 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 I did not start. So I started off as a book club fiction author, like upmarket women's fiction. That's my first two books. And then during the, Ed just heard this last night, during the third book, when I was writing it, it happened during the pandemic. And my husband is-
And everything got dark.
Yes. And my husband's a firefighter for the FDNY in New York.
Is he on the cover of your book?
Yeah, that's not him.
That is not him. I was like, oh?
I did not use him. But so he was busy, you know, doing all those first responder thing. And so I was pandemic homeschooling an 8-year-old. And I got-
I'm sorry.
That sounds hilarious.
Yes, exactly. And I started to get stabby. And I started getting like, so I started killing people.
Yeah.
And then I-
In the book.
In the book.
I love that you got to finish that sentence, Lynn.
In the book, yes. I had intentional murder. And then my agent's like, Lynn, this is not feel-good family drama. She's like, I think you wrote a thriller. So I call it my accidental thriller. And then after I wrote that, I wrote another one. But then I was like, you know what? I need to switch genre. I need to get to like happily ever after now, after all this killing. So then I was like, I'm going to write a rom-com. And my agent's like, you can't keep switching genres. But she's like,
you'll figure it out.
Yeah.
You're my agent.
Exactly. And she's like, you know what? You keep writing. I'll just try to sell whatever you want to write. So
I love that. So I have to ask, like, were you ever asked to, like, change your name, do a pen name, change the branding?
He took my last name off for the rom-com.
So okay.
It's just Lynn Liao. So my rom-coms are going to be under Lynn Liao.
I like that.
She did suggest-
That does sound more rom-com-y.
Yeah, right. And she said that because I'm a woman of color, she's like, you already have so much harder time getting your name out there that you're going to dilute your brand if you start taking on all these pen names. Yeah. And I agree with her. I was like, I didn't want to change my name. I don't mind dropping my, you know, Mary name.
Yep.
So I'm going to be like John. I'm going to be like John Cougar Mellencamp. I'm going to be Lynn Butler, Lynn Liao Butler, Lynn Liao.
And then Lynn Butler.
And then just Lynn. Yeah. And then just a symbol. And then just like
the artist known as Lynn.
Just like an L, but kind of stylized like Laverne from Laverne.
It should be Lynn.
Does John Cougar Mellencamp go by other names?
What? What?
Does John Cougar Mellencamp go by other names?
Oh, yeah. He's John Cougar Mellencamp, John Cougar, John Mellencamp. Yeah.
He can't decide if he's a
female
or not.
And yeah, sometimes just John.
Yeah.
So sometimes, and by that, I mean just John. This is
Ed's curious because he has iTunes on in his headphones, yes, and he's trying to figure out exactly what to look just up right now to get Jack and Diane.
And Lynn, I do the same thing because my romances are down. Like, that's why my full name's down there, because I'm Allison Martine for romance, because Hubbard is like the least romantic last name sounding ever. And Martine's just my middle name. And then when I eventually, assuming I get a book deal for science fiction, I'll be by A.M. Hubbard, hoping someone thinks I'm related to L. Ron Hubbard.
Right. But not Scientologist.
But not Scientology, but he's like known as the slippery slope community. And I want to be like somebody picking up, like, did L. Ron Hubbard have a new book, or is this his child? And I'm like, no, that's just my child. And I won't take anybody accidentally picking up my book. That's fine. Accidental, and then buy the book, please.
Yeah.
I feel like I'm sorry, Ed, go.
Lynn and I did a virtual event last night, and we did a writing Q&A, and we told everybody afterwards to review our books, and it doesn't matter if you read them, just assume you're going to like them.
Yeah, that's
and
fair.
Post the review. So we understand the whole, you know, we'll take it however we can get it.
However you can get it. Just, like, whatever. Even if you don't read it, just be like, loved the cover.
Exactly. Right?
It's probably really good.
This seems exactly like a 300-page book.
That's fair.
That's honest.
Well, I'll take it. Like, Lynn, I wanted to know about the research you did, and I don't know how to ask this without spoiling stuff, so I won't, but there are things.
How to kidnap a child?
No, I'm not supposed to ask about that, but there were things about it that I'm like, have you had certain experiences that led you to the way that the child was kidnapped as far as like modes of transport? Was that something you had to look up? Or you're like, it's all fine. Like,
yes. Good girl. Well,
okay, so I left this part out. So the couple that adopted that dog that fell in love with him, they told my child they have another dog and they also own an RV and they love to go cross country.
Okay,
with
they cannot read your book.
I know, that's what I mean. Actually.
Oh my God.
I know.
I'm advising you to tell them to not read your book.
They said, you know, your dog is going to go cross country with us and maybe you can come too one day. And that's
just as a parent, I'm going to say to other people, whether you have children or not, do not offer to take other people's children across.
No, but they didn't do it like that. I said that creepily. It was not creepy. It was like, you know, maybe you can come look at it. Like, you know.
No, we're not saying you said it creepily. Or they said it.
Oh, no. I thought we were saying that.
No.
They seem nice, though.
Very nice, innocent people. And I just blew them up in my imagination.
Right. Yeah. I mean, definitely maybe give them like a gift bag of your other books.
I think I should.
Leave this one out completely and be like, you have them all. You have the whole set.
Complete set.
Yes.
I thought you had RV experience.
I have no RV experience at all. Well,
and see, where it's creepy to me is when I was a kid, we had neighbors who, like, one of them had sometimes stayed with her grandparents, and they had one, and we would go and play in it, but it was just parked. Right. And I can totally see how, why is it so interesting to kids, but it is. And it's like, there's, like, this bed above the stairs.
Yeah, it's like a whole house inside this big thing. But
it's interesting to adults.
Yeah, it is, right?
I mean, I would want to live in one now.
I work with a guy who lives in one of those converted vans that, you know,
Allison's like agent doing. Lives in.
My agent lives, but no, she calls it like her rock star trailer. It's hers.
Well,
like
it is a rock star trailer.
Because hers is probably bigger than my entire house on wheels. You know, but I do worry about her because she has driven it off a cliff once. So
God.
Please don't hurt yourself. Stay on the road. She's fine. Trailer, not so much. What?
Wow.
I thought Lynn was going to say something, and then I started talking anyways.
Oh, well, Ed, we haven't heard enough from you.
I know, Ed.
I know. You're right. You're right.
I want to give Ed a few vague compliments.
Sure.
Okay. Ooh. Yeah.
Vaguely compliments.
I mean, vague compliments. Ed, I adore you. You know I do. I am never going to look at a coat rack the same way.
Sexual.
It's not sexual.
It sounds that way.
It does sound that way. I read that entire section aloud to my husband and he was like, I definitely want to read this book right now. And I'm like, well, I'm holding it in my hands and it was before it was out, so I'm like, you can't until I'm done, and it is in my hands.
And he has to buy a copy, right?
I know. I actually, because he loves audiobooks, I'm like, just buy the Audible, and he's like, well, it's on your account, so buy the Audible. So I want to say coat racks. Love it so much.
Christmas Villages.
Oh, Christmas Villages. I'm never going to look at those again. But there was kind of like a throwaway moment towards the beginning of the book where we're in it's Lucky's POV, and he's talking about the mugs that his family has given him, like number one farter.
And I thought it said father at first, and then I had to go back and read
it. Wait a second. No, it didn't.
But I feel like the first time, Ed, you were on this show, you might have been holding a mug that said, like, world's best, most okay dad or something.
Yes, that my kid gave me.
So I was wondering if these mugs, if you have a collection of, like, passive-aggressive dad insult mugs.
I don't, aside from that one.
Just that one.
Two things. We have, I don't know what it is. So it's my wife and I and our kid, and my wife doesn't drink coffee or tea or anything like that. So it's just me who drinks coffee. And yet somehow
I'm like, suspect.
What move?
I don't know what makes
her
move. Very strange. Like,
she's not human. Food.
But like, we have like 30 coffee mugs and I don't get it. I don't understand. I only need like
coming from?
I don't know. We just collect them. You know, they come from like, you know, like some convention or a conference or something like that. Or my, you know, my, for a while I was getting one from like my kid all the time. Cause he's like, you like Star Wars? Here's a Yoda mug. And I was like, okay. I can't play that out.
It's cute. You're seven. So it's fine.
Yeah.
We had to like actively rebuild our collection because years ago I had an IKEA, shout out to IKEA, like China cabinet that one day just decided one of the shelves needed to just give up and all of our mugs went down except for one, which is really basic. And I was just the saddest. So some of my friends bought me ones after that are very cute, but not necessarily ones I can drink out of because they're too wide and flat. And I'm thinking, you guys think I'm a lot more coordinated than I am.
So yeah, like you're in the cast of Friends or something.
No, I'm just like, yeah, this is very cute, but it's so wide. It was like drinking out of a soup bowl and I'm going, I can't walk with this. I won't get from my place of coffee making to sitting without wearing it because klutz.
The one thing really that I wanted to do, that I was right. Like I liked all those moments with Lucky, you know, but when I first,
this is why he's our boyfriend.
He was, I really,
as we're like, we love
first.
Him.
Well, I didn't want him. I was worried that, you know, cause there's like a comic trope that's really, you know, that happens a lot with like a reluctant criminal or something. And there's something.
Oh, he's not that.
He's not reluctant.
He's not that reluctant. But he's conflicted. I was worried he'd be like a joke or a caricature. So I wanted to give him that like loving authenticity that he has to his family. And that comes out through his Christmas villages and his interaction with the coat rack and other stuff.
I will say like the interaction with the coat rack felt so like,
authentic.
It was so authentic. Like, so I'm not, I don't think it's a spoiler. He was having an anxious moment. Some would call that an anxiety attack. As somebody who is, you know, very familiar with them, I was like, oh, I've never, yeah, like, I felt so seen in such a hilarious and heartbreaking way. I'm like, oh, I felt this. And this is why I started reading it aloud to my husband. And then the scene obviously went in a lot of different directions. And he's like, so you felt that? Like, this is how you relate to it? I'm like, no. It's just the like, suddenly like, oh my God, I'm crying.
Aww.
Like, oh,
that's
God,
really nice.
Kidding. Yeah, so that's a legitimate compliment, Ed.
Yeah, that's not big at all.
That's like something that I'm talking of from my cold, dead heart.
No, and I feel like not only was Lucky not a joke character, none of the characters, even when they were funny, were joke characters, including there are some scenes that with Chris, where Chris is talking
the third person
about Chris. And they're like, oh, you're doing that again. Okay, we're doing that. And again, it was like someone who's trying to take themselves more seriously. And everybody's like, oh, we're taking ourselves more seriously now. Okay, we'll get in line with that.
Chris is definitely taking Chris very seriously.
But I love the fact that you had multiple POVs to the point where when I was reading it, I'm like, it's going to take me a while to figure out who I'm supposed to be rooting for because I wasn't sure. And as I went on, I was like, okay, I've got to figure, am I still rooting for them? I'm not sure I am anymore. Oh, hold on. I'm not rooting for, well, okay, I'm rooting for you again. And it kept changing. And I can't remember the last time I read a book where I was like, hold on, spin a wheel and see how I feel about a character on any given chapter. Because you had multiple points of view and then others interacting with each other that I honestly didn't know what outcome I even wanted half the time.
Right. Wait a second. Which is so great.
Which is great.
Like, yeah.
That's really nice. Thank you so much. I mean, that was, it's interesting because I thought that was, I really don't like doing this, but to turn attention away from me just for a second, that's what I really liked about Lynn's book too. And we talked about this last night is Hope did so many things that I did not agree with. And I was like, questioning, but I was like, I could see that. I could see making this kind of rash decision and going into places I shouldn't because this kid's missing.
Yep.
And there was the very nice, creepily done part, which I'm not going to give away. But
there's lots of creepy
parts. There's so many. And like, I'll say,
you gotta be more specific.
There's one in particular that really creeped me out. But
you mean the neighbor?
Yes.
The basement?
So, oh my gosh.
Yes, actually have a neighbor, a single neighbor next
door. Do you really?
And he's not old. He's like maybe a few years older than me. But
is that is this one?
That's
Does he know he's in this book?
Yes, because he said, oh, is Mr. Alden me? I'm like, no, you don't want to be Mr. Alden. But, you know, so I actually have to Google, what is something creepy that an old man could keep in his basement besides dead bodies?
Oh, there's so many things. That's but what I like. You picked hunters, one that I thought like was circuses. Both sweet and awful.
Yes.
Yes.
You could see it either way, right? Like,
yeah, like I appreciated it.
And basements just scare me in general because I grew up in California, but my family's from Pennsylvania, and my grandfather shot things to feed it to his family because he was a pastor and, you know, squirrel pie, that's a thing. Oh. And my sister could like dare me to go downstairs where all the heads were. And I'm just like, can't do it. Okay, get down there.
So they were like trophy heads, but they were like squirrels and not like a deer or a bear. It's like
there's not enough to be on the squirrel. No, and seriously, like that's, I mean, my dad later, because I just feel like
I need to take notes because that's a great visual I have in my head.
Just the squirrel. No, my dad got me a cookbook one day.
Nope.
It was Mark Putman's How to Cook Everything because he knew I had a Cajun one that had things like squirrel pie. And I'm like, I would never make this for you, Dad. Seriously. But he was worried that I needed, she's just like, stop. Sorry, Jen.
But no, I need a coat wrap.
That's the area. I mean, I'm in California. We don't shoot anything here. We get avocado toast and they're all free range avocados. So it's fine. But I mean, like, that's the kind of thing that a basement could have, and you never know. And when
your creepy basement was not that, so yeah. That's
well,
great.
And I recently beta read for our friends, and it had a basement in California, and I'm just sorry to say we don't have basements. So
I know I heard that.
Take that out, I'm like,
yeah, no. Basements.
No, we don't have basements.
What if your house is built into like a cliff or a hill?
Those are terraced and they're multi-level, but none of them are considered basements. And I've been in basements, but I've never been in a California basement except for one Baptist church. And even that, it wasn't really a basement so much as it was like a lower level where you can still walk out from the basement because it is terraced. But it never felt like a basement.
No, I understand that because my house is actually like that. I'm sitting in a room like that right now.
800 feet tall and like really straight up.
And built into a cliff and just weird. Yeah, but I'm not California. I'm in squirrel shooting country.
Yes, with cannons. You shoot cannons.
I don't shoot cannons. My neighbors shoot cannons.
No, and so Lynn, like you had mochi, which I thought was amazing because my children are obsessed with mochi, both the food and these little things that are called mochi. Yes. So I don't know why mochi is suddenly in the cultural zeitgeist, but I feel like because of your book and in addition to it, there's probably 8 million animals named Mochi right now. And you go to the vet and someone says Mochi and like four little dog heads pop up. Yes, it's all named Mochi.
She looked like what a giant that? Mochi, didn't she? I mean, I don't know if you guys seen her, but she's this big, she was this white thing and she looked like a Mochi. So I named her Mochi. And I actually, the dog in the book was not supposed to be named Mochi. I was supposed to think of a name, but I just put Mochi in just as a placeholder.
Oh, and then it never goes away.
I totally forgot to change it. And it went
until you got it in print and you're like,
oh, I was God, like, oh, but it was okay because my mochi passed away in October. So it was like, she passed away and then I got her and now she's in this, so it's her legacy. So
it is her legacy.
And one of my friends drew a little mochi sticker. You see it?
I love that.
This is my swag now. I give it out.
I love that.
And they're like, what kind of book is this? And you're like, you know, like kidnapping and murder.
Yeah, cute.
It's an adorable dog sticker.
Yeah, but I feel like that sticker is your rom-com in terms of like cover and style artistically. Whereas,
well, Kate, for the rom-com,
I want to read a book about a dog.
I had these.
Those are cute. Crazy about you. Yeah, I learned, okay, so my children are becoming obsessed with anything cute and like that, and mine saw they had dumplings at the store, and I bought them for them, only to find my middle literally ate out the middle of the steamed pork bun, like just the middle. I'm like, what are you doing? She just sits there just eating out the middle, and she does the same thing with sushi, so it's like she eats the middle, and then there's this piece of nori and rice, and I'm going, what is wrong with you, child? Like, you're not just, I'm only going to eat the tasty parts in the middle. The rest is, nah, who needs that?
That's fine.
That was like $8 of bao. I need to get that back from you, child.
Well, look, I feel like you're spoiling your kids. Just put macaroni and cheese with hot dogs in it. I turned out fine.
You're like, questionable. Okay, so, but swag. Ed, I loved the bookmark swag that came in. I wish I don't know where
the brochure.
I'm like, I'm not lucky to sell my house. I can't afford a house. I live in California. But pretend I could. I would totally want Lucky to almost stab the HOA coordinator. Yeah. Just even, that is not a spoiler, because that's like right. one of the first scenes where I'm like, don't we
that's
all
just
want to stab
parts of
everyone?
His character.
HOA is a very hateable villain for everyone.
Yeah.
I was very with the swag, I was happy with this one because last time I did the mask for No Home for mm-hmm. Killers, the mask of the vigilante.
My kids did not appreciate that I had that.
Nobody understood what it was. Everyone's like, why did you send me a mask with this book? And I was like, I should have explained.
It's what made me want to read the book. I mean, I got that creepazoid mask and I'm like, 100% yes, I'm just going to wear it around the house.
Awesome. Okay, good. Because I think a lot of people were like, okay, thanks for sending me the like old fashioned placemat menu that you turn into a mask.
Yes, it's just a paper plate with eyes cut out of it.
Like, yeah, I would like the chicken fingers and French fries and chocolate milk, please. They're like, that's not what this is for.
This made more sense. I was happy with that, but they were like really expensive. But the good thing is that I'm really bad with money, so
who cares?
It's all good.
I love that you're like, they were so expensive, but I'm bad with money, and my kid doesn't need to go to college.
Yeah,
it's fine. I turned out fine.
Hot dogs and macaroni and cheese, baby.
Certainly won't feed them things that they're only going to eat the middle of. Like, knowing my kids, they would pick out the hot dogs and leave the mac and cheese. And I would just be like, are you kidding me?
So let me ask, I have a question.
Why are you here?
Interrupting my show. You write horror.
Yes,
and
but I also.
Non-crime fiction as well.
Yeah. Crime-ish. I call it like book club, but like with a lot of murder.
And how has that been for you? Because I'm really curious about
honestly,
it seems like it'd be really hard to switch genres if you're really versed in one. Like I feel like I know crime fiction really well. If I had to write romance or something, I would have to I've never even read them. There's so much I wouldn't know.
Oh,
so I'm wondering how do you
do what I do? Write rom coms without having read them first.
Really?
Yeah. I took my kids and fell in the hot tub. I didn't know what I was doing. And it shows.
So, I mean, I think I'm more well-versed in writing horror or like in the horror place, if it will, the horror space. But I read so many thrillers and I love crime fiction. And I've always, in my heart of hearts, wanted to write that. But as a total pantser, I just felt like that was not in my wheelhouse, because I would have to like know who did the murders and like what the end was going to be. There has to be a plot. There has to be a plot, and it has to make sense. And so it was honestly, when I'm like writing more crimey based things, it's a longer process because I am still a pantser. So like I'll get 3/4 of the way through the book and go, oh, I know what this is. I know what this is actually about. And then have to like go back and kind of retcon it.
Yeah. That's a lot of retconning.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, it's definitely not the process I should have.
You know, I feel like there is a spectrum there, and I know we've had people on, and I want to say, was it Bracken McLeod who said he was a secular horror author? I'm trying to remember who said that.
It was Bracken. And I only remember this because I just saw him at the House of Laughter Resort weekend, and he said something similar. So I'm like,
and that phrase, I love that, because the whole idea of like, well, where's the line between crime and horror? And because
I think it's they're the same.
Can be pretty horror, and then the if horror requires a supernatural element, but it doesn't.
It doesn't. Because like, I would say
horror ends up being crime in many ways,
like a home invasion or a kidnapping or or an assassin who's just like going like. All of those can definitely be horror.
Yeah, completely. When I told my husband that the realtor, like the assassin, even still has a day job, he was like, are you kidding me? Even the assassin needs a day job to pay the bills? Because he's been joking for years, all people can afford to buy houses around here are mercenaries, and even they have day jobs in order to pay that mortgage. And Tara says, congrats to Ed and Lynn on your release. Tara Laskowski. Tara, I saw your pictures of you at 21, and I'm like, oh my gosh, that is so from when I was also that age, that you can just tell how old those of us are based on the outfits, the hairstyles, and necklaces. Yeah. And I'm just like, yeah, Sarah, you're my people.
I know. Like every time I'm seeing people post things, I'm like, yeah, oh, the overalls, the backpacks. But can we just shout out congrats to Tara?
Agatha nominee.
Agatha nomination.
For Weekend Retreat.
Oh, congratulations. Yeah. That's amazing.
Yeah.
So say very something cool, nice, Ed.
Yeah, Ed.
I know.
He can't. Not when it comes to Tara. She just congratulates.
I know. Tara comes in. She's like, I love you guys. Congrats, Ed. And Ed's like, oh, she was nominated for an Agatha?
Yeah. Tara, I'm very happy for you. And I'm sorry that I keep embarrassing you at work with friends. This makes me feel bad for being superior to you in every way. I love Tara. We're having lunch on Friday.
I know. I know you guys are besties.
Which is why this is even better. I'm just like, what are you guys doing?
Besties.
Kind of fine acquaintances, correct?
Yeah.
Business associates.
We can both do better, but since we can't yet, we're just stuck with each other. Yeah, eventually we'll get out of this rut.
So speaking of getting out of this rut, Lynn, Ed, are you guys forever in this having the same book birthday, same publication day?
I think it's been broken after this, right?
Oh.
Okay, what are you both coming?
Like a curse?
We're not under contract.
We'll do it again.
Sorry, everyone.
You had the same editor?
Yeah.
And then both books were launching the same. Does your editor like hate herself that she had to put two books out with the same deadline? Because that seems mean to yourself. Like, did she look at the calendar first?
Yesterday was her birthday too. So
she's like, it's my birthday. Happy birthday.
I get that.
Happy birthday, Jessica.
Happy birthday, Jessica. So now you're going to be on separate paths?
I think so.
What if it collides again?
That would be so cool.
It might.
That could be the perfect storm. If it happens a third time, then...
You never know.
That's witchcraft at that point.
That's witchcraft. That's horrible.
When are you going to be next?
What's your next thing?
When do you foresee yourself being with your next book out?
Well,
I do
have a thriller that I outlined and wrote three chapters for that Jessica has right now. They're probably not going to pick it up, but there is an idea that we can shop around. And then I wrote an entire upmarket fiction book. I just finished it at the beginning of January and gave it to my agent. So I have another completed book that is...
And that probably wouldn't go to Thomas and Mercer because that's more...
No, because it's not a thriller. Yeah,
and I love the term upmarket fiction because everybody's like, nobody knows what that means.
Nobody knows what it is. Exactly.
Yeah. So she had to explain it to me.
Okay, so they used to call it women's fiction, right? Yes. And I've hated that term because a lot of men read my books and they're like, why is it called women's fiction? And so recently, I guess it was a year ago, Publishers Marketplace got rid of the term women's fiction and now are just calling it commercial, or I think general fiction. Mm-hmm. So my books are that sweet spot. That's what they call it, between commercial fiction and literary fiction.
Where it's kind of literary, but it still makes money.
But it's still, and it's still like,
you can buy it in an airport, but you've got to be a little bit smart.
Right. Yes. It's not just like commercial, you know? So that's why they call it that. And I actually like calling it book club fiction because it is the kind of book that book clubs do
love.
So,
yes.
Yeah.
So,
I love it. So, Ed, what's happening for you? Do you know?
Are you writing the rom-com?
I'm not. I'm writing another thriller. I think I feel like I've been slowly taking a departure from, because my first book was classified as hard-boiled. And you know me, like a bad boy, crime fiction kind of thing, you know? So obviously that made sense. But with this book now, I feel like I'm going more, and I'm kind of excited about this. I feel like I'm going more to psychological thriller.
Oh, good.
I've never written the big thriller, you know, terrorist attack happening or whatever. They're always smaller than that. And so I think
that's what I love.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's what I'm naturally drawn to.
Yeah. No, I love it. And nothing I can say right now because we're live and it's like, oh my God, I can't say things. You two don't have the same agent, do you? Because I know same editor, same. Oh God. I was just like,
I don't even know who your agent is.
I have Rachel Brooks at Bookends.
Yeah, Bookends. Okay, right.
All right. And what about you, Ed? We've got everybody's. I've already said more. Mine lives driving around.
Because
I have Amy Collins at Talcott Notch, and she's got Paula Munier at Talcott Notch.
And I know Ed's agent.
Oh yeah, Michelle Richter. Yes. Who is best friends with
Paula.
Yeah.
And Michelle and I have drunkenly showed each other pictures of our pets for probably a way too long a period of time.
I was worried that sentence was coming.
Showed each other pictures of. Michelle is. She comes to Crime Bake. We love her. And, you know, after a few cocktails last year, she was like, I miss my cat. And I'm like, I miss my dog. And then it turned into just, look at this. Look at that. Look at my animal.
And then Lynn comes along and puts mochi stickers on everybody.
She's like, I've got merch.
Funny about Michelle. Michelle and I, not 2023, but 2022 Thriller Fest. That was the first time I met Michelle in person. The second time. We closed the cocktail night, opening night. We were sitting there drinking, and all of a sudden we look around and like, are we the only people left here?
Probably I'm going to go back to the room.
And Michelle's actually also Tara's agent. So
So that's where you guys are like identical cousins. Yes. As you can see.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Like the Parent Trap. The Patty Duke show.
She's best friends with Paula.
She is. I know. I know. It's a small.
There's like
the literary world.
There's like 15 of them. And everybody knows everybody. Ed, Lynn, thank you both for being here with us, celebrating your
hold them both correctly for
once. Book birthday.
I have 15 more minutes of stuff.
Okay. Yeah. Well, that's going to be private.
I was going to do. All right.
Yeah. We're cutting it for time.
App number, maybe a puppet show. It's
SNL. We're like, cut for time, Ed. You can do that. No. That will be a web exclusive.
And both I'm just going to do it here by myself.
And we want to stay on because here's the thing: like a book like this, we have such a hard time talking about books like yours, where we don't want to spoil anything, but then we actually want to say, oh, and then this and this and this.
So I just have to we just have to scream a couple little things, just be like, oh my god,
and then we're good.
So anyways, audience, get out of here.
Thank you for having us.
We haven't done the homework yet and haven't read all the assigned reading because it came out yesterday, so it kind of would have been hard, but still, you could have binged both of them overnight. And are they both on audio? Because did you say this one, which one was already Roman was looking for this one on audio?
He wanted me to buy it for him on Audible because he prefers audiobooks to the reading with his eyeballs.
I do too, but you know.
But I'm like, but I was reading it aloud to him days ago.
So the audio is of Jennifer in her room.
Yes.
Yeah. And I like to do things in a terrible British accent, so it's confusing to him.
None of the characters had British accents.
No. No. He's always like, does this take place in England? I'm like, it does not.
It does not. Brilliant.
Opposite of a book I read once where the narrator was American and the character was British, and it took me a long time to figure that out because apparently that narrator just doesn't like doing British accents. So he did it for some characters, but not the main character. And I'm like, I am beyond confused right now.
Yeah.
But it's all fine. I figured it out.
All right, everyone, thank you for joining us live, or if you're watching this or listening to it on the replay, thank you. Make sure to like and subscribe. We are back in a couple weeks
We're back with Heron Ennis. It got moved, so I've got to double check the date, but it's going to be a Tuesday, and I want to say it's Tuesday the 27th, something like that. It's not on normal day, so definitely be looking to make sure you are be subscribed to the channel so you get notices when you're showing up, because sometimes we work around people's schedules, and they're unusual.
I love it. So
but
thank
you. Here in Ennis with the Leech, so please go listen to it because I did.
I'm excited.
Good.
Thank you both for having us on.
Thank you.
Appreciate it.
So polite at the end, Ed.
Right?
Polite at the end.
Yeah, that's it, though.